Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners in this country and, of course, throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting, talented, and diverse personalities who this week are going to play Just a Minute. They're going to display their verbal ingenuity and creative intelligence as they try and speak on a subject that I give them and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And they are sitting on my right, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and seated on my left, Jenny Eclair and Dara O'Brien. And would you please welcome all four of them? Thank you. And seated beside me is Janet Staplehurst. She's going to note the score down for me, and she's going to blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the recently refurbished Watford Palace Theatre. And we have a beautifully refurbished Watford audience to cheer us on our way as we begin the show this week with Dara. The subject to begin with is what I was like as a baby. And we thought that was a lovely subject for you, so would you go on it now? 60 seconds starting now.
Well, physically, I was quite similar to how I am now, to be honest. There was a lack of hair.
Paul, challenge.
Your poor mother.
You mean your mother gave birth to a 20-stone...
Not even close, all right?
I know, but it got a laugh, didn't it? Right. So, Paul, you get a bonus point for your lovely interruption, but Dara was interrupted, so he gets a point for that, and he has 56 seconds to continue on what I was like as a baby, starting now.
I'll admit I wasn't 18 and a half stone at the time, but nonetheless, I was still bald and cute, pasty-faced kid. The differences are possibly more interesting. I was blonde at the time, and blind, apparently, which babies are for the first 3 months or so, or at least fairly useless when it comes to, you know, video games and mixing the correct cocktails and stuff you want your child to do around the house. The mothers are always telling this guy.
Clement, challenge.
Repetition of mother.
Yes, your mother came into it before.
Well, she had a fairly strong role to play in the whole day.
I know, but you can't repeat her in Just a Minute if you've already used the word before. So, Clement, you've come in with 35 seconds on what I was like as a baby, starting now.
I have absolutely no idea.
I think also of the strength of the applause. I know you dried up completely. We'll give you a bonus point for that. But Paul got a correct challenge. I know what it was.
Hesitation.
Yes, Paul. You have what I was, and a point, of course, for a correct challenge. What I was like as a baby. 33 seconds, starting now.
I was very similar to Clement Freud, apparently, as he is now. My mother tells me that as we look at this famous knight sitting next to me, I was the spitting image of him. Apparently, when I was 7 months old, I turned to her and said, I...
There were two apparently's, yes, yeah. Yes, unfortunately. So anyway, it's back with you, Dara. 19 seconds. What I was like as a baby, starting now.
I suppose it is a reworking of the old Oscar Wilde phrase that every child's tragedy is that they look like Clement Freud when they arrive back. And Clement Freud's tragedy...
Clement, your buzzer went first. Yes, and yes. Your challenge on your name. You have a point for a correct challenge. 11 seconds, what I was like as a baby, starting now.
I met somebody the other day who remembered what I was like as a baby. I wasn't going to talk about this, but now it's come into the open. I was an adorable baby. Everybody...
So Clement Freud speaks as a whistle when gained that extra point. And Jenny, it's your turn to begin. The subject is punk. Will you... Don't laugh. Punk, Jenny, tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Punk came to Lytham St Anne's, where I was a teenager, in about 1977. Nobody knew really what to do. A few half-hearted attempts were done to pierce a safety pin through a pencil case, but not through a nostril, you know. That would have been mad!
Paul Towers.
Competition of through.
Yes.
Two throughs.
Two throughs, yes. So, Paul, you have 45 seconds. You tell us something about punk starting now.
As Jenny says, it was a phenomenon of the late 70s. I wasn't particularly interested in punk music at the time, and I don't think I am now, really. I was more into the films of Laurel and Hardy. I was a strange boy growing up. I was about 19, 20. The sort of age you would expect for somebody to suddenly get excited about The Clash or the Sex Pistols, people like that. But I really wasn't that interested in their way of doing, because I just thought...
Clement Charles.
Deviation of grammar.
Can you elucidate? What was it?
I wasn't that interesting, he said.
That doesn't sound like me at all. You mixed me up with somebody else there, Clement.
I think he was trying to say I wasn't that interested, and it may have come out as interesting.
Yeah.
But because he'd already interested said interested before.
Yes, yeah. I was trying to avoid saying interested again.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah.
So it is a deviation of grammar.
So it was a clever, clever thing that I did there, Nicholas.
It was a clever thing. but you failed to achieve your aim, didn't you?
Now it's been explained to you, yes.
I was about to give you a bonus point, but I'm going to change my mind.
What a shame.
No, right. Clement.
Oh, yeah, go get the bonus point.
No.
Oh.
Oh, I'm never unkind. Of course you have a bonus point. Clement, you have 23 seconds on punk starting now.
The letters P, N, K and U can only spell punk. Well, look at them as often as you like, and there's no other word.
Paul Challenge.
Knup. One of the biggest cities in Norway. You've been there, Nicholas, haven't you?
Absolutely, yes, yes. I'm a huge success over there.
Yeah.
Didn't understand a word I said, but it was very successful.
Now you walked on, he said, look at that Knup, and that was you, wasn't it?
I've been known as the biggest Knup in the business, actually. And I think it was you who... said it about me, but doesn't matter.
So deviation, you can get more than one word out of punk. Knup.
No, it's not a word. You wouldn't find it in the Oxford English Dictionary. And I've read it from A to Z, so I know.
Did you find out who did it in the end?
No.
You read the dictionary A to Z?
Paul, I'm going to give you another bonus point, but Clement was interrupted, so he gets a point for interruption and keeps the subject of punk and the 14 seconds starting now.
I've never quite understood the attraction of punk. I've looked at many people with extraordinary bits of metal through parts of their body, and it hasn't enhanced their beauty in my eyes.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gaining that extra point. He's moved forward. He's two ahead of Jenny Eclair and Paul Merton, who's still equal in the lead, and in second place, and then Dara in third place, I suppose. And... I mean, suppose, because if they're equal in the second place, he can't be in fourth place, he must be in third place. I've never worked that one out, and I've been in the show now, but so many, it doesn't really matter, I don't know why I brought it up. Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is swings and roundabouts. Tell us something about that delightful children's attraction in this game, starting now.
It's a metaphor for life, I suppose. What you lose on the swings, you gain on the roundabouts. But is that really true? The first swings and roundabouts I remember were at the back of the council flats where I grew up in Fulham. They were not particularly good swings and roundabouts. The swings didn't swing, the roundabouts didn't roundabout. And I don't know really what was the point of them. I suppose they were there as a...
Jenny Challenge.
He supposed twice.
You did suppose at the beginning, yes.
I was getting quite deep there.
Yes. 38 seconds for you, Jenny. Swings and roundabouts starting now.
After smoking, the government will ban swings and roundabouts. They are lethal, especially if a roundabout is manned by a maniac 14-year-old boy old enough to know better. Pushing it too fast, kids flying off, impaling themselves on railings. As for swings, without crash helmets, have we gone mad, eh? Paul was right when he said it was a metaphor for life. It's the sort of thing my mother says. It means that whatever comes round will get you in the face next time. And however you're feeling, if you're up...
Yeah. So Jenny Eclair was speaking as the whistle went, and she's moved forward. She's now equal with Clement Freud in the lead. They're both 2 points ahead of Paul Merton and 3 or 4 ahead of Dara. And Clement, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is the superhero I would most like to be. The superhero I would most like to be, Clement. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think P.T. Barnum of circus fame is the superhero whom I most admired. He was once acquainted of the death of the man shot from the cannon in his big top, and said, "This is grave news. It will be hard to find a man of the same caliber." But perhaps my definition of a real superhero would be a mixture of the Ink Spots, Janet Street Porter, and Eminem.
And Paul Chalice.
Hesitation on Eminem. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I let you go on, Clement, because there was a huge reaction and you couldn't exactly go through it. It was too good not to nurse it a bit. Oh. And but that
can
was...
I have a point?
No. All right.
The man in the fourth
then,
row would like me to have a point.
There's a man in the fourth row who's been quite vociferous.
Vociferous, yes. Yeah. Well, it's more than one, actually. But anyway, yes, give him a bonus point. He loves his bonuses. And Paul, you have the subject, and you have a point for that, of course. The superhero I would most like to be, starting now.
The superhero that Nicholas would most like to be, he confided to me just before the show started, was Captain Continent. I said, "What exactly do you mean by that?" And he started to delve into all aspects of his private life, which I think we should leave where they are. The superhero I would most like to be would be a man who could travel faster than time, because I'd love to be able to travel so fast into the future.
Yes, Dara, you challenge.
That has to be a repetition of travel.
It was a repetition of travel. Well, listen, Dara, and you have 5 seconds.
Oh, it all could go hideously wrong, couldn't it?
The superhero I would most like to be, starting now.
The superhero I would most like to be was a character called The Thing in Marvel Comics, particularly because it seemed like...
Dara, you see how much you're loved in Watford. They want you to do well. And you are doing well. You've got another point for speaking of the whistle went. You move forward very rapidly. You're still in fourth place, but you have moved forward. That was a bit unkind, because he's actually only 2 points behind Paul Merton. And Paul always does well in the show. And he's only 1 point behind Jenny Eclair and Clement Freud. And so it's all very close. And Dara, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is a good education. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Very recently, Prince Charles stepped into the education debate in a slightly controversial way by stating that basically the point of a good education was to turn the entire country into an Indian caste system of some description where everyone should know their place. Frankly, I didn't think it would take 14 years. Just point it out to them on their way in and then send them out on their way. I was educated in...
Paul Challenge.
Repetition of way, then.
Yes, it's way in and yeah. Way. Yes, way, yes. And so, Paul, you got a correct challenge. You have 42 seconds. Tell us something about a good education, starting now.
I've admired good educations from the outside and wondered what it would be like to have one. Unfortunately, the school I went to, Wimbledon College, turned comprehensive the year I went there and decided to put me and a bunch of other boys right at the end of the hall, and we'd never really learnt anything. I came away from that school with 3 O-levels and 2...
Jenny Challenge?
2 schools.
Yes, the school. Oh. You entered the school at the beginning.
Yes.
Wimbledon. And 26 seconds, Jenny, for you. A good education, starting now.
Similarly to Paul, I had a lousy education. My fault entirely. Just stopped listening. Couldn't be bothered. Put my head down on the desk. Fell asleep. Dribbled for 7 years. I know nothing. Ask me a question. I won't be able to reply.
Paul Challenge.
What's the capital of Peru?
It's very difficult. I think Paul should get a bonus point for setting the situation up. Jenny thinks she deserves one because she said Lima. And Dara thinks he should have one because he wrote Lima down for Jenny to say.
That's fair.
And Clement obviously feels he deserves one because he didn't say a word. But Paul, you had the bonus because you set it all in train and... 11 seconds are left for you, Jenny, on a good education, starting now.
When my daughter was approaching 5 and I had to choose her primary, I looked around, and the one I went for was the headmaster. Yes.
That had to be hesitation.
That was hesitation, yeah. Yes. And you've got the subject. Dara, you're getting... save it, because you're getting the feel of this particular game. Because you've gone in with 2 seconds to go. And you have 2 seconds on a good education dollar starting now.
One of the features of a good Irish education that you learn...
So Dara is really moving in leaps and bounds. Another point for Speaker, as the whistle went. He's now only 1 point behind Paul Merton and Clement Freud, who are equal in second place, and only 2 points behind our leader, who is Jenny Eclair.
So actually, I'm still last, is what you're saying. I'm a far more respectable class of last than I was.
You're in a brilliant fourth position. Okay. And I won't say any more. And the Jenny, it's your turn to begin. The subject is... The Queen of Sheba. A little moment to think about it, my love. And now off you go. 60 seconds starting now.
The Queen of Sheba was a character from the Bible who had to travel a vast distance to...
Paul, challenge.
They need to do this at dictation speed.
No, there
are people taking notes in the audience. Only trying to
she
help.
Hadn't quite got as far as hesitating.
Okay.
She was going very slowly, unlike Jenny. We've got the two speed vocalists on this side and the slow ones on the right. Jenny, an incorrect challenge, 53 seconds. The Queen of Sheba starting now.
Had to go and visit Solomon and ask him questions, possibly about the capital of Peru. He proved himself as...
Clement, challenge.
Deviation.
What?
Peru was not a country while... The Queen of Sheba was...
Yeah, it wasn't there.
It wasn't. Peru did not exist in those...
No, it was part of Islington in them days. Part of Islington.
So, Clement, a correct challenge. 43 seconds. Tell us something about the Queen of Sheba starting now.
I seem to remember she appears in the Bible, which you get in your bedside cabinet when you stay in a hotel.
Paul, challenge.
Well, this is a willful mispronunciation of the word Bible, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
So it's deviation from how we would normally pronounce the word Bible.
I agree with that challenge. Yes.
Yeah.
So you have a point and you have the subject.
Yeah.
36 seconds. Starting now.
It's one of the finest pubs in Fulham. If you go in and ask for George, he'll always take you around the back because there's a lovely room there just behind at the rear of this...
Jenny, challenge.
Two behinds.
Back
oh,
behind.
Oh, I'm sorry, Paul. I'm wrong. I do apologise.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Backs and behinds, maybe it's synonymous in your world, Jenny, but... an incorrect challenge, Paul. 28 seconds. The Queen of Sheba starting now.
When I think about the Queen of Sheba, I think...
Yes, once you're interrupted, sometimes you lose the flow. Right, but Clement, you challenge first. I think. 25 seconds. The Queen of Sheba starting now.
The Queen of Sheba was a horse which ran at Cheltenham in the Triumph Hurdle in, I think it was 1986, or could have been the season after that. 2.25 miles was his exact distance, and a great weight carrier, the Queen of Sheba.
Paul, challenge.
This male horse was called the Queen of Sheba. I mean, that's just unfair to dumb animals. I say that's deviation.
It just shows you how the whole thing was so devious.
Exactly.
He made the whole thing up.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2.25 miles in that particular year. Could have challenged in any of those things.
Yes, yeah.
But he waited till he got the sex wrong.
Yeah.
And... which was very true, because you've got him with 9 seconds to go. The Queen of Sheba starting...
I protest.
You mean it was a cult and it's still called by a female name?
I've met plenty of male queens.
Yes. But how many are actually from Sheba? Yes. That's what I want to know.
Yes. The Queen of Sheba is with you, Paul, and 9 seconds starting now.
If you look to the Bible, you will find that the Queen of Sheba is described in a rather unusual way. Let me take you through exactly what it says. If you look...
I was looking forward to that, Paul. I thought you were suddenly going to quote the Bible to us.
No, I've no idea.
No. So, you were speaking in the whistle when you gained an extra point. You've been taken the lead. You're 2 ahead of Jenny Eclair and Clement Freud, equal in second place. And you are 3 or 4 ahead of Dara O'Brien. It's all very close. Paul, it's your turn to begin. Oh, sorry. I got a hiccup. I've got rid of it. And...
that's the kind of man you're dealing with here.
I know, but it's all...
Somebody else would be out the back drinking water out the wrong side of the glass, not Nicholas.
It's all comic grist to the mill, that's
absolutely
what I say.
It's
absolutely
a hiccup, he gets rid of it.
You're the only man in history who's had a singular hiccup ever.
Ah, but I can control it by my stomach muscles, you see.
Really?
It doesn't... The demonstration wouldn't be very good on radios. I won't go any further.
But it'd be a memory for the front row, though, wouldn't it?
The hiccup was actually embarrassing for the front row here in the theatre. Paul, it is your turn to begin. What not to say when you meet the mayor? 60 seconds, starting now.
I like your beard. Would be inappropriate in Watford because a lady mayor here called Doreen, apparently somebody told me this just before the show. Not called Doreen. What's her name?
Cameron Challenge.
Repetition of Doreen.
That's not her name.
What is her name?
Doreen.
Doris. What?
Dorothy.
Dorothy, if you're out there somewhere.
Sorry, I voted for Doreen. What happened to her?
My money went on Doris. So, Dorothy, if you're out there, I'm sorry, but it's all meant with the greatest of good fun. Clement, you had a correct challenge on repeat of Doreen, and you have 52 seconds to tell us something about what not to say when you meet the mayor starting now.
Mea culpa would be a silly thing to say. Hello, Dorothy, would be very much more sensible. I've said would twice.
I know. And you've challenged yourself.
Challenged myself for repetition.
So, Clement, I have to ask you, what was your challenge?
Repetition.
Repetition,
would.
Correct. So it's a correct challenge, so I have to give you a point for that. But please don't make a habit of it, otherwise it could make the nonsense of the game, couldn't it?
And we leave that in your capable hands.
You're lovely, Paul, you know. I love working with you. And always can be relied on a few of those. 43 seconds, still with you, Clement. What not to say when you meet the mayor, starting now?
I think the very last thing you want to say when you meet the mayor is anything political, because once one is a mayor, politics go out of the window. You are a mayor for all your people, be they Conservative, Liberal, Democrat, or Socialist, even Labour and New, that party again. Hello, Mayor is nice, if you don't want...
All challenges.
Yes. Bit of a hesitation there.
Well, after saying hello, Mayor, I'm sure there'd be an awful pause, wouldn't there? Yes, there was a pause, Paul. So you have 19 seconds. What not to say when you meet the Mayor, starting now?
When you meet the Mayor, you shouldn't say your name is the Queen of Sheba, because that won't go down very well, because, in fact, that nomenclature prefers to live with the male horse, that lovely, proud animal, as it strides across the ground, four legs swinging out from every corner.
Dara, just a minute, Dara, challenge.
That must be deviation at some stage.
Is a mare not a horse?
No.
Don't tell me you only just got it.
I only just got it, so I retract my interruption. That's
right. So you retract your challenge. In other words, you were Paul was interrupted, so he gets a point for that. 5 seconds. What not to say when you meet the mayor, Paul? Starting now.
I once met the mayor of Melbourne. She came up to me and she said that.
Jenny, challenge.
Two she's.
Yes.
Yes. Because that's why I hesitated. Jenny, you cleverly got him with 1 second to go. What not to say when you meet the mayor?
I'm not going to worry about it, because let's face it, she...
Sorry, I haven't said no yet. I was trying to pull you back from the microphone. You were almost eating it.
I know.
It actually doesn't come over very well on radio. So without swallowing your microphone, could you now, for 1 second, tell us what not to say when you meet the mayor, starting now?
You should never say knock.
Well, Jenny Eclair speaking as the whistle went, again, an extra point. It's neck and neck between these three, Clement Freud, Jenny Eclair, and Paul Murphy. And we're moving into the final round, alas. Oh, you're so sweet out there. You really are. But we've enjoyed it as much as you, I can assure you. And, but in quite a different way, of course. Let me give you the situation as we go into the final round.
I think we can well imagine the situation, thank you.
Well, no, I have to give it to the people who might just have tuned in.
Yes, give it to them.
Dara O'Brien is only just in fourth place. He really is. He's only 3 points behind Jenny O'Clair and Clement Freud, who are equal in second place. Paul's Merton's still in the lead, and we begin the last round with Dara O'Brien, and the subject is modern art. Something I'm sure close to your heart, Dara. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Many people find modern art particularly challenging. The medium is often the issue. Neon, for example, and those strips of it. Often people find it to be pushing them away. They're going, why do we have to have our...
Why did you do it?
Why?
But that's the way we speak, isn't it? And, Jenny, you challenge first.
Why, yes.
Why
did he say why so many times?
Because he was emphasising it.
Twice.
That's all it takes.
I should explain to our listeners, by the way, he was referring to the modern art here at this new refurbished Watford Palace Theatre, which is hanging from the ceiling like a lot of rather undigested spaghetti. Jenny, a correct challenge, and you have modern art, 50 seconds, starting now.
I adore modern art. The madder, the better, because it makes people hop up and down with rage and write letters to the Daily Mail about Tracy Emin, who I personally adore. Do you know, once I was...
Dara,
that's repetition of adore, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. Sorry, repeat. I adore passionate. Modern art, and she yeah. enjoys Tracy Emin, yeah. and a lot of others do as well. And 37 seconds, back with you, Dara. Modern art, keep it going. You might yet win. Starting now.
I find I need to be guided through modern art because, frankly, I'm not sure what they're rebelling against anymore. I've missed so much of it. So I walk around galleries with one of those large headsets jammed to my ear as if it was some sort of massive Walkman with somebody's voice slowly explaining the significance. Sometimes you realise that the person on the other side is just an actor reading out a script. I was in a museum once in China where Roger Moore was the voice. Now, this Bond had clearly never been in Asia in his life. He was sitting in a studio somewhere in London leafing through a catalogue of fancy cars, just reading out the description of art he'd frankly never set his eyes upon. His eye- oh.
So Dara O'Brien kept going till the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so. He started with a subject, he finished with a subject, he was interrupted, and he gets a number of points, but not enough to win. But he has finished in a brilliant fourth place. He's only 1 point behind Clement Freud, who's only 1 point behind Jenny Clare, but they are both a few points behind Paul Merton. So we say, Paul, this week, you are the winner. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four lovely and delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Jenny Clare, Dara O'Brien, and Clement Freud. I also thank Janice Staplehurst, who's helped me keep the score. She's blown her whistle with great aplomb when the 60 seconds was up. And we also thank our producer-director, Claire Jones. And we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game. And we are very grateful to this lovely audience and the Watford Palace Theatre, who've come here to enjoy themselves and cheer us on our way. From our audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons, and from the team, thank you, goodbye, and tune in the next time we play Just a Minute!